All this has been a great introduction for what the Lord put on my heart to share today. And if I were to put a title to this, which is, it's really just a reminder of things that God has already spoken to us. But if we were to, I put a title on this, I put War and a Wedding. So Father, I just ask now that as I share these things that you have been speaking to us, Lord, that you would begin to put more and more pieces of the puzzle together for us as you bring greater and greater confusion to the enemy, Lord.
Right.
And Lord, that we would be the ones on track and we would be the ones filled with joy, and the enemy would see that and want what we have. And I ask that in Jesus' name. So anyway, I just want to begin to remind us of some of the messages we heard. Some of the, you may have missed them or not. These were some words that were spoken either on Friday night or during the Sunday services that we've had. And so as I go through them, I feel the Lord has kind of emphasized two specific things. And the one was that we're in a war. And the second is that we're preparing to have a wedding. So anyway, back in April, Don Rumble, he shared from Hebrews and Melchizedek, and he goes back into Genesis and he shares that Melchizedek comes to Lot during a war. And so they're in the midst of this this turmoil, and God shows up. And so one of the scriptures he reads, it's from Psalm 110. It says, "Sit at my right hand and until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord will stretch out your strong scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will volunteer freely in the day of your power in holy array from the womb of the dawn." And he was just speaking that this is really prophetic of Christ coming. And he is going to be the one that rules in the midst of us. And this was something that was being birthed from heaven. And that's why he used the term the womb of the dawn. And then he quoted Matthew 4:16, "The people were sitting in darkness and saw a great light. And those who were sitting in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light dawned." And, you know, we're here now 2,000 years later, and we have the same situation. There are people sitting in darkness, and we have a great light. And God wants that light to go forth, and he wants that to be birthed. He wants that to be have a dawning, a revelation in the people that are around us that are so filled with anger and confusion. And then the other night, Pietro came up and shared a few things, and he made a very brief statement, and it had to do with exactly what Claudia was sharing. It's has to do with the Lord's protection and character, and he shared the situation with Elijah and when these armies were surrounding him. Now, what's really interesting, the nation of Aram was coming against Israel, and every time Aram would come or make a plan, God would give Elijah what the plan was. He would tell the king would be there ready for the king of Aram. He's like, what the heck's going on? And he was really frustrated and in anger, the king of Aram. And finally he starts questioning his servants, and he says, who are you that's for Israel? And they say, well, none of us. It's that guy Elijah. He knows everything that's going on, even in your bedroom. And so then he says, well, let's find out where this guy is and let's send an army against him. Now, that's pretty incredible that a king would send an army against one man, right? But in a sense, that's what's happening with us. There is an army that is totally against us as individuals. It's totally against us as a church. But what's really interesting, the day comes, the army is surrounding the city, and Elisha's servant wakes up and he sees this incredible army and he starts freaking out. And he says, what are we going to do? And he says, we'll be okay. And so Elijah prays because he says there's more with us than there are with the enemy. And he says, open his eyes. And he opened his eyes and he saw that which was around them. In other words, there was the army beyond them, but there was this army around them. And it's very interesting that Elijah prays for his servant's eyes to be opened. And then he gets on his knees and he says, Lord, this is very similar to what Jessica just said, blind the enemy. And immediately all the enemy was blinded. And they were like, they didn't know whether, you know, they were blinded, right? And so Elijah goes out and says to them, I'm not the guy you're looking for, and you're not in the right place. I'm going to lead you to where you need to be. And he takes his whole army and he leads them to Samaria, and they basically, in a sense, were captured. But then Elijah, and this was to me was so important about the heart of God. Here he was. He takes the enemy, blinds them to dispel the tactics, and to save his anointed. And the anointed one comes, and the people in Samaria, they're wanting to kill these guys. They're wanting to put them all to death. He said, "No, no, feed them and let them go." And they made a banquet for the enemy. And then they let him go. So what a glory. It was a glorious day for everybody. It was a glorious day for Elijah and the servant. And it was a glorious day for the enemy as well. And I believe that that's what the Lord's heart is. The Lord's heart is for the enemy as well. He wants to show them loving kindness and mercy and grace. And so that all came out of a little statement that Pietro said. And I really believe the Lord was speaking in that. Amen. And so... So then we move on, and several weeks ago in one of our Sunday services here, Claudia was speaking about loving one another, and she quoted John 13:34. She said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Examine," and then she said, "examine our love for him." And she actually said, you know, yeah, I love God. But that was just her thought. And then she said, do I really love God? You know, do I really love one another? And so that was a real challenge, I think, for us as individuals. Lord, we're here. We say we love you, but do we really love you? We say we love one another, but do we really love that? And so, Lord, again, Lord, search our hearts. Try us and to know our ways and see if there's any wicked way in us still hanging around. And then just last night, for those of you who know Vicky Dross, she is Jose's wife, and they're up from Saugerties, a fellowship up in Saugerties. But anyway, she shared about Friday. What did I say, Saturday?
Friday.
Last night, yeah, sorry. Last night was Saturday. Anyway, she was sharing a testimony. She was online with a bunch of women. She was sharing this powerful testimony about this woman who had prayed and interceded for her husband, who was just, he was a mess. And God saves him and brings him out of his mess. And then she continues to pray. And then God begins to basically show her the mess that she's in. And she was beside herself, and she started weeping. And so it was like here she was doing the work of the Lord, and yet there were still things that God wanted to cleanse and purify in her. And I believe that's the same with us, because guess where we're headed? You know, we're in a war, but where are we going? We're going to a wedding. And there is something in that. There's something in that God is using this war to conform us to his image, because we are going to be his beloved. And we are his beloved, right? And there's coming a time of a wedding where we're going to be coming together. And so anyway, these are just the things. And then again, Friday night, Wayne just began to prophesy. He began to just envision the temple of the Lord and just the glory in the temple and the courts and all the things that are going on. And it was mentioned shortly after that, you know, the temple that the Lord is building for himself is us.
True.
It is made of living stones. We have to get the mindset that it's this brick building with great ornate things in it. No, it's these living spiritual stones that are being formed and put together. And it says that is going to be his dwelling place.
Thank you,
Lord. Right? But that dwelling place in corporate is also his bride. And so there's this dynamic. So like he's going to dwell there because he wants to be in us. He wants us to be in him as he and the Father are one. And all this is together because that's what happens when a husband and a wife come together. It says they become one flesh. And so that's where we're headed. Several weeks ago when Eulene came back from the hospital, she said she had a dream. And in the dream she saw a stream or a river, and in the river there was these ducks. And I'm not really sure how everything was played out in the dream, but the Lord told her to look for the source of the river. And it says that he was our lifeguard. So here was the Lord, again, he was emphasizing the fact that we can see things of God, but we need to find the source. Right? And that, to me, has to do with intimacy. It has to be with knowing who he is. And in other words, we see the effects of God, and here's this life and this duck and this flowing river, but there's a source, and we need to be intimate with that source. And so these are just the things that I am gleaning from all this. And then just a week ago, Friday, before we opened the meeting, Tim Wiltshire, he just had this strong prophetic word. And one of the things he says, come away with me, my bride, right? Which he was quoting the Song of Songs in Song of Songs 4, verse 8, where Solomon is talking to this woman and said, come, because you're going to be my bride, and come away with me, and we're going to be intimate together. And when I began to just think of that, I thought about a couple that we are currently working with and preparing them for marriage. It's Amanda Prindle and Dexter Miller. Dexter Miller, right? And I was just thinking of, now I can't exactly explain what goes on in a woman's heart and mind, but this is what was going in my mind about what would happen with a woman, okay? And you girls can correct me out there whenever you want to correct me. But in any case, I could just imagine young girls, you know, there's someday they have these dreams, you know, the prince and the princess, and they'll get married, and they have all these dreams about, you know, the wedding and all this other stuff. But, you know, eventually that little girl, she matures. And before you know it, there are these guys are starting to hang around, they're starting to play, you know, play around and tell them jokes. And before you know it, she's saying, Oh, what is going on here, right? And something is stirring in her mind. Said, maybe one of these guys will be my husband someday, right? So she has these thoughts, and she starts thinking about more about marriage. And then one day, the right man comes along, right? And all of a sudden, they're beginning to connect, and intimacy is being built between the girl and the guy. And she's saying, wow, is this the one? Is this the one, Lord, you know? And so she's waiting and waiting. And says, is he ever going to ask me, you know? And all these things, they're like, her senses and everything are being now turned up another notch, right? And then all of a sudden the day comes where he says, will you marry me, right? And she goes, of course I'll marry you, because it's all been there and all been programmed and she's moving forward. And so now her thoughts about marriage and everything started 10%. They've gone up to now 65%. Now it's like, okay, when's the date? Where's it going to be? Who should we tell? Oh, yeah, we got to tell our parents for sure. And also all these things start gearing up. So the whole point of this is that this is what should be happening with us. We have come into a relationship with our husband, Jesus, right? And there's a wedding date that's in the future.
Right.
And we should be looking at all hell could be breaking around this couple, right? But that doesn't matter to them. They're focused on their relationship, they're focused on their intimacy, they're focused on the future, where we're going, we're coming together, and we're going to have a glorious life together. And anyway, these are just thoughts I had about all that came out of when Tim said, "Come away with me, my bride." And I believe that that's what he's saying to us. He's wooing us. He wants us to be intimate with him. He knows there's a war. He's going to work the things good for us in the war. We got to deal with the war. But our focus and our future is the wedding.
Amen.
In fact, the curriculum that we're using in marriage counseling, a question that is being posed, the curriculum is called Defining the Relationship, and it's by Danny Silk. It's out of Bethel in California. And in one of the chapters, it says, "What is the goal of your marriage?" And he says that if people can't answer that question when they come to see him, he says, come back when you know what the right goal is. He says, I'm not going to tell you what the right answer is. But anyway, in the curriculum, the goal of a marriage is not to have a family, not to have a house and a car and a good job and a future and a 401k. That's not the goal. He said the goal of your relationship is intimacy. Having an intimate relationship one with another, where you share life in an intimate way. You're not living two people separately in a house, but you're living together. You have an intimate relationship.
Right.
And that is something that God is bringing about. He is doing that with us, with him. He's doing that with us, with one another, talking about praying for the church, our relationships, and having issues and stuff like that. We can have issues, but we can still be intimate in those. We can still have discussions. We can have disagreements, but we can have an intimate relationship that is loving and caring and accepting of one another. And then Peter Scott I think it was on Friday also, he says, you know, there's rejoicing and joy in the house. And there should be rejoicing and joy in the house. Just like Pietro said, there's hope. We have hope. We're the only ones in the world that have hope.
Right.
No one else has the hope that we have.
That's
and
right.
We should be filled with joy in the midst of a war,
right.
Which doesn't make any sense. Gene Fisher shared a dream. This was also Friday night. She said she heard a loud bang on the door. Now, I may not get this right, but I think I got it right. She said she heard a loud bang on the door, and the bang on the door woke her up, and she said, I'll be right there. And then she realized the bang on the door was actually a dream because she was sleeping. It wasn't really in the house. And later, I don't know if it was later that day or another day later, but the Lord showed her what that dream was. And it was the Lord knocking on the door, right? So what does that mean? He's pursuing. He wants a relationship. He's pursuing. And she said that she felt what the Lord was saying, that the Lord is now knocking on the doors of many, many hearts. Why? Because he's seeking an intimate relationship with people in these days, because that's what they need. They need the Lord. They need that relationship with him. And here's a scripture that Vera gave me yesterday. This has to do with patience for the bride. 2 Peter 3:8-10. Do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burnt up. excuse me. And to me, that has to do with God's patience. You know, we want everything and this whole thing, COVID, to end. We want all this global stuff to end. We want everything to end. But yet God is working in this. He is doing a miraculous work, much of which I don't think we see. I think we're having an understanding of it, but we don't necessarily see the fullness of it yet.
True.
And so let us be patient in the war that we're in. Let us be patient in waiting for that wedding day, but let us keep our focus on that day, right?
Yes.
So I basically want to thank the Lord for these dress rehearsals, because that's what I feel like it is. Okay? What happened here was a sudden thing. It caused a catastrophic situation in the world. And all of a sudden, you hear all these stories and you hear these prophetic words and all these things coming about the enemy and how he's working and all these... What do they call those again? I can't think of it. What's that? No, all these concepts of what really is happening and what do they call it? Conspiracy theories. All these conspiracy theories are coming out. It's so interesting that all these things are coming out and they're trying to piece this together and they're trying to look at this guy over here and this guy over here and say, oh, this is really what's happening and this is how it's all going to happen. There's this 5G thing tattoo tracking and all this weird stuff is going on, right? It's like all of a sudden it's just coming out, right? But the reality is, from what I've read in the scripture, but let me read what the scripture is. Let's turn to Luke 17. That's why I believe I like this, because it's a dress rehearsal, because the Lord is preparing his bride. He's preparing the bride for when he comes. So if you turn to Luke 17... we'll start in verse 22, okay? Luke 17, starting in verse 22. And he said to the disciples, "The days will come when you will no longer see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. They will say to you, 'Look there, look here.' Do not go and do not run after them. For just like the lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky, shines to the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They will be eating, they will be drinking, they will be marrying, they will be given in marriage, until the day of Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same that happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, and they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same on the day the Son of Man is revealed." And what I'm saying here, why I sense that this is a dress rehearsal, because when Jesus really does come, it's going to be awesome. But what's going to be happening is not something like this. It's going to be life as usual. People will be eating, they'll be drinking, they'll be getting married, they'll be buying, they'll be selling. It will be just like a perfect every day. And then, bam, it's going to happen, and he's going to be here, and we're all going to be shocked. And there's not going to be any conspiracy theories. There is, because he's going to be here.
That's right. Amen.
And we can't figure out when he's coming. We don't know the day or the hour. We may know the season. But he is giving us lots of wedding rehearsals. Anyway, we're in a war. We're headed to a wedding. Hebrews 10, 23-25. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Yeah. You see, the enemy thought he could get us to be separated, not be together. But yet God has given us the technology to be here together, to be sharing with one another, and what an awesome thing. And everybody's just, I'm so encouraged because more every Sunday we come, there's more and more people with us, and I'm just really blessed to see the more and more people here. And it says that, what was that?
The scripture again.
Hebrews 10, verses 23 to 25. And I just want to end with this, Philippians 1:6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
It is something that God initiated. It is something that he is doing, and is something that he is going to be completing. And as long as we keep our focus on the wedding, we're going to be there at the wedding.
Right.
We are his bride. We are his beloved. We are his temple. We are his dwelling place. And we are at war.
Amen.
So, Father, I thank you for all the participation of your body in our community that has been speaking these things. Lord, let us be attentive to all these details more and more. Lord, I'm sure there were other things that would fit together here, but Lord, let us be attentive to the things that you're saying because you are speaking through your body. Lord, each and every member, it doesn't have to be me, it doesn't have to be Peter, it could be anybody here who has something to say. They have the Spirit of God and you're speaking through them, Lord. And let us have ears to hear and eyes to see what you are doing. And I ask that in Jesus' name.